Now let's go back to page 15. Let's go back to Ezekiel 32. I will also water with thy blood the land wherein thou swimmest, even to the mountains, and the river shall be full of thee. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven, and make the stars thereof dawn. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. And the bright stars of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. Now, again, we have a figurative expression. You can't take one cloud and cover the sun, not from a physical aspect. And you can't accept some thing like this that's in the ridiculous. The Lord does not do the ridiculous. All right, Numbers 24:17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. There it is again. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. So we have a star representing people again. So this isn't unusual. And then just Daniel 8. Out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great, toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, cast down some of the host, and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Why don't you take that stars as literal? The stars are cast down to the ground, he went around walking on them. Well, you know better, because it's just utterly nonsensical. So these are given, come to the margin, as samples of figurative language. Once you see Matthew 24:29, Mark 13:24 and 25, and Luke 21:24, back on page 14, as figurative, the rest of the passage clears. The tribulation here, Matthew 24:29, is exactly the same as the tribulation in Matthew 24:21, back on page 7. And Mark 13:19, page 7, Matthew 24:9, section 1, page 15, and Mark 13:24, page 14. Nothing equates this tribulation with the great tribulation. There is nothing that puts those two equal. In fact, if you go to Apologetics 8, you'll see how differently they're expressed in the Greek, and there's absolutely no way you can make them the same thing. Now, this is just an expedient they do. They do this to get around things that don't fit in their interpretation of this, the Lord may come at any moment, false teaching. Now, the top of page 16, the paraphrastic futures, and there are three of them here, by the way, become very important. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, Matthew 24:29. But in those days after that tribulation, Matthew 13:24, that particular one, when the stars will be falling away continuously, Mark 13:25. Israel cannot give her light to the nations unless Israel is in the land under the rule of the Messiah. Now, consider the following chart of the three paraphrastic features to which I have called your attention, and the desolation of the temple. Now, these all start at the desolation of the temple, A.D. 70. That's your left-hand margin. All right, now, the top block, Jerusalem will be being trodden by nations until season of nations might be fulfilled. That's back on page 3, and that was filled June the 7th, 1967, so that trotting has closed. That trotting has closed. Now, the next one. The next one is not a paraphrastic future marked with a star, as those others are. But it's a continuing thing, as we saw way back in section 1 on page 3. Days within which stone will not be let be upon stone. And there's no question historically that that has been so ever since the destruction of the temple in A.D. 70. You can't question the history. You go over there and look for it. The temple isn't there. So it's quite obvious it's still effective, and I showed you from history that that's the way it was always understood, because Julian the Apostate tried to rebuild it to prove Jesus was wrong. So there's no question about that one. Now, going on at the same time, we have the next paraphrastic. Jews will be being hated by all because of my name. That we showed you back on section 1, page 15, and that is still going on. They still hate Israel. And they're equating Zionism with Nazism and all this kind of thing. Everything because they hate the Jews. And sorry to say, this is true in the majority of churches across the land. Now, the other one running parallel to these is another one, the stars of the heaven will be falling away. That's on page 14. So these are all running. Now, when are they going to end? Now, you see, world end time conditions are given a little coverage in Luke 21, 25b and 26. And let's repeat these verses. We're going to look over them in just a moment. But you see, the stars of the heaven will be falling away, or the stars of Israel. And there's no testimony in the land. It isn't existing until now. It's coming back now, and all these things are beginning to happen. Now, Luke 21, 25b. And over the earth a holding together of nations in perplexity, as sea and surf is sounding. Here also we have words that are figurative. Holding together only occurs two times in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 2:4, out of much tribulation and holding together of heart, I wrote. What does it mean? Moulton and Milligan give compression and so forth. DeVries Dictionary gives cohesion, coherence. King James translates distress, anguish. Rather than interpreting, I have left the primary meaning, but you see the problem. The primary meaning is holding together of heart, and holding together there in the passage in question of the nations may be even a forerunner of this idea of the United Nations. I don't know. We'll have to just leave these perplexing problems. We can't answer everything. We do not have enough history. Perplexity. This occurs only this one time. Excuse me. Moulton Milligan gives poverty, shortage. Most support is for perplexity. That's far better supported. Now, the next star, as sea and surface sounding, surface solos occurs only here. DeVries gives agitation, shaking. King James gives waves, but the word is singular. Moulton and Milligan give rough sea. So you get the idea. Sounding occurs only twice, here in 1 Corinthians 13:1, sounding brass of the King James. But here King James has roaring. Perhaps some other figurative verses will help. Look at James 1, James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. See, person's like a wave of the sea they've got there. All right, now look at the Jude passage. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root. See? Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars. Notice I have in the margin underlined, stars leading astray, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So these people that were right in the church are called stars leading astray. And there you have figurative use in Jews. I believe Luke 21:25b indicates the nations have no leadership. They have no leadership either from Israel, the sun, moon, and stars, nor from the false teachers, apostates of the church. Luke 21:26. As men are stopping breathing from fear and anticipation of the things coming on for the inhabited earth, for the powers of the heavens will be stirred. Now Matthew 24:30. And then, while that's all happening, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens. And then all the tribes of the land will wail, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the heaven with power and much glory. Look at Mark 13:26. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with much power and glory. Luke 21:27. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and much glory. Don't you see how these whole three passages stay parallel constantly? You can't yank them apart and make one of them 2,000 years away from the other one. Matthew 24:31.
and he will dispatch his angels with great trumpet noise, and they will lead together completely his chosen out of the four winds, from tips of heaven to tips of them. From one tip of heaven to the other, they translate it, and that's probably the meaning of it, all right. But they're from heaven. They're coming from heaven. Mark 13:27. Then he will dispatch his angels, and he will lead together completely his chosen out of the four winds, from tip of earth to tip of heaven. So there you get an expansion. And then I want to see Apologetics 9, the rainbow sign, the sign of a scene, because that glory cloud, which is a special Hebrew word, is coming with all the clouds, with the armies of heaven come with him, the angels come with him, and the chosen come with him. And I've got two empty clouds down at the bottom, because there is a rapture, and the believers will be caught up to meet him in the air, to come on back to earth, where he'll set up his rule. They're not going the other way, but you'll have to go to Apologetics 9 to see that. Finally, Luke records a hope for Israel, Luke 21:28. But as these things are beginning to be coming to pass, you stand erect, and you elevate your head for the reason that your redemption back is drawing near. Now this, I think, is very amazing. Notice the blocks again. And now, since we know this hope is now explained further by a parable of the fig tree, and since we know that, it's way over toward the end, the "your" now, I believe, refers to generally to Israel at large, because you remember it said that they would be being hated, and they're afraid, and this has been going on all these centuries, that Israel is that afraid. Now they can stand erect. No longer do they have to get off the sidewalk when somebody passes them. No longer do they live in hovels and hiding in fear, wishing it were morning when it's night, and wishing it was night when it's morning. That no longer goes on. They now have a nation to fight for. Now, it's explained by the parable of the fig tree, Matthew 24:32. But from the fig tree you learn the parable. At the time that her plants might already become tender, might be producing the leaves, you be coming to know that summer is near. Mark 13:28. But from the fig tree you learn the parable. At the time that a branch might already become tender, and it might be producing the leaves, you be coming to know that the summer is near. There's your verb coming to know in there. Keep an eye on that one. Luke 21:25. And he said a parable to them. You see the fig tree and all the trees. Now we bring in all the other nations. Verse 30, at the time that they might already cast forward, while looking from yourselves. Now, this is interesting. Viewing it from Israel, you'll be coming to know that the summer is already near. Viewing it from Israel, from inside, looking at these things, looking at your postage stamps, looking at these leaves being put forth forward, notice that it says that branch is becoming tender, and it might be producing leaves, going on, one by one, producing the leaves. Now, Israel's Independence Day stamp in 1958, Israel 57:18, Matthew 24:33 says, thus also you, at the time that you might see all these things, you'll be coming to know that's near upon the doors. And Israel issued that Independence Day stamp with a 10-leaf branch coming up out of the lampstand. I think it's very significant. Mark 13:29. Thus also you, at the time that you might see these things coming to pass, you'll be coming to know that it's near upon doors. Thus also you, at the time that you might see these things coming to pass, you'll be coming to know that the kingdom of God is near. Now, Luke answers what's near at the doors. You see, in Matthew and Mark, you've got it is near. What's near? Well, Luke answers it. The kingdom of God is near. And so the kingdom of God has been proclaimed, that God is restoring the kingdom to the Israelis. The leaves are being put forth. Notice the verb coming to know. Just as one learns that summer is near by the trees putting forth leaves, so also Israel should come to know that the kingdom of God is near by the events tabulated here. Actually, genoskoper, second person plural, present, active, indicative, or imperative, you'll be coming to know, and in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, really is learning from the event. That is, you come to know it gradually as these events take place. Matthew 24:34. Amen, I'm saying to you, by no means might this race. Now here is a change, because the King James has this generation. And much is being put on this verse, that the idea that the generation that sees these things begin to happen will not pass away till they be finished. Well, there's a whole lot of problems with that. How long is a generation? You'll find that generations are different lengths, very much so in Scripture. If you take the Scripture that in the fourth generation, the people shall come hence out of bondage in Egypt, Moses the fourth generation, but if you look at Joshua, I think you'll find he's the seventh generation. So even in the same period of time, generations aren't equal. Furthermore, there's no way possible that as Jesus puts in these personal pronouns talking to Israel, that any place they could outlive all of these times at all. And therefore, I think that this word has to be understood as race. And you're going to see that I have much support for this. Mark 13:30. Amen, I am saying to you that by no means might this race go past as far as which all these things might come to pass. Luke 21:32. Amen, I'm saying to you that by no means might this race go past, so all things might come to pass. Notice to you the ones to whom Jesus is speaking. Note this race. King James has generation, which is a possible translation, but so is race. Note all these things. How would it be possible for any single generation to outlive the event shown in the graph on page 16? That is, all these things. These verses testify to the permanency of Israel. All right? But they're still going to be here. Matthew 24:35. The heaven and the earth will go past, but by no means might my words go past. Now, this is an interesting trio here. The heaven and the earth will go past, but by no means might my words go past. Luke, the heaven and earth will go past, but by no means might my words go past. Now, what do you mean by that? That the heaven and earth is going to pass away? Not at all. But that's the way we tend to take it. But look at Luke 16:17 and shows you how they speak. And it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. So the heaven and earth will not pass away, as is proven by other scripture. But these verses show the permanency of the words of the Lord. It's a comparison explained by Luke 17. That's the way it's done. It's easier for that to happen. It's much more likely that heaven and earth would go by than his words would go by. Much more likely. He isn't saying they're actually going to pass at all, because it's explained the way he uses these phrases, and it's common this way. Let's continue. Matthew 24. But concerning that day and the hour, no one is knowing absolutely. Now, it doesn't say no one will come to hell, neither the angels of the heaven, unless my Father only. But concerning that day or the hour, no one is knowing absolutely, neither the angels, namely the ones in heaven, nor the Son, unless the Father. Now, get that? Nor the Son? In Matthew and Mark, Jesus said that no one is knowing absolutely. That is, no one was knowing absolutely at that time. That is knowing. Jesus didn't say no one would ever know. Jesus himself did not know then. But now he is with the Father and certainly knows as the Father knows. Further, as events take place, Jesus said, you be coming to know that the kingdom of God is near. I have translated these two words for know as accurately as I could, and that makes a big difference if you keep those words separate. Matthew 24:37. But as altogether the days of Noah, thus fully also will be also the presence of the Son of Man. For as altogether in the days, namely the ones before the flood, they were chewing and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until which day Noah went in into the ark, and they did not come to know, get the word, come to know, till the flood came and it removed quite all persons, thus will be the presence of the Son of Man. I must close the study of this history at this point. The word present occurs only four times in the Gospels, all of which are in Matthew in this history. The first time in the fourth question, what the sign of thy presence and the complete finish of the age? Now, Matthew 24:27 says this, For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The second use is Matthew that I just read you. The problem here is that lightning doesn't come out of the east to the west and is very local. For it's altogether the beam of light is coming out of the sun rising. Remember, I skipped that verse before and told you I'd touch it. Gradually, the light reaches around the world. Could this refer to the light from a rising of Israel from their long darkness? The last two uses are above in Matthew 24, 37, 39. The world did not come to know until too late, but Noah built the ark and came to know the exact time 7 days in advance. So I think rather than telling you that no one will ever know the day nor the hour, as we get closer and closer, we're not only seeing the evidences of these things piling up, but we will come to know the exact day and hour as we get upon the real time. Not the unbelievers. I don't know what hits them. All right, now page 21, summary, beginning of section 1. The four questions Jesus was asked as a result of Jesus' statement that the temple would remain cast down for days. Since the major interest was in the complete finish of the age and Jesus' presence, Jesus first quickly told of this ending of the age. Now, I think that's the major point in both of these sections, is to try to see how Jesus is going back and forth from the end of the age to the beginning of these things, and how he is also then going to things that will be going on during the age. So he expands the whole program. And if you don't see it moving back and forth like this, I'm afraid you're going to get very much confused. Because as that first paragraph on this page, the temple would remain cast down for days. Not just the fact of its being thrown down. A lot of people take it that far and then forget it. But it's a sign, it's a real witness to the end of the age that the fact that it still is non-existent. And these things that... The fact Israel had to be there to build it, so the idea that this isn't the nation of Israel, isn't God's nation, this is all fallacy, because Israel could not very well have it built when they weren't there. So they had to be there as a nation. We just misunderstood these passages, and now this false teaching is constantly going on. Now, he warned not of false Christ, but of one's coming. Now, this is the first warning, back on pages 7 and 9 in the first section, which I've tried to show clearly. But of one's coming throughout the age, confessing Jesus as Messiah, and yet leading astray. See, we're going to have false teachers, and the scripture is filled with these people who are going to be bringing all kinds of heresies. And that's what they've been doing. And they confess Jesus as Messiah. It needs to be in an apologetics all by itself. It warned especially of the teaching of imminence. And I've tried my best to show you how to understand that, and there isn't any imminence, apologetics 11. He then warned of wars increasing in intensity as the beginning of the birth pains of the restoration. And we showed you how badly camouflaged that was by the beginning of sorrows, and how people take that to be the beginning of the tribulation. Nothing says that in Scripture. The great tribulation occurs only once in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that over there talks about the great tribulation that has been going on for 2,000 years, ever since the first martyr recorded, Stephen. And it's been going on. It's never let up. Christians have been slaughtered around the world through all the hundreds of years on the persecution of the Roman Church, the Seventh World Power. All of this has been going on. History verifies what I'm telling you. It's that we don't want to accept history. And Satan is very clever in leading the whole world astray. Jesus then explains the things to take place immediately toward the desolation of Jerusalem and three very important events that had to occur. The gospel was to be preached with reference to all the Gentiles. That was one of them. The Jews would be continually hated without interruption by all the Gentiles, and that's still going on. And, by the way, the gospel is still being preached to the Gentiles. 3, the good news of the kingdom would at some point be preached in the total inhabited earth, and I showed you that that was proclaimed worldwide by Israel's admission to the UN and the postage stamp of Israel issued by the UN. Now, in this section that we've just completed, Jesus explains the beginning of the desolation, goes back to the storm, with the important addition that Jerusalem would continuously be Gentile-dominated until their season to do so was over, and that was completed June the 7th, 1967. That's an anchor point, and thank God for these anchor points, or we wouldn't know what we were doing. These anchor points and the paraphrastic futures, these things are things that you can't just wipe them all. They're the things that are holding the whole prophecy together. And I'm trying to show you that these three accounts all dovetail together perfectly. They don't have to do with something separated from one another. Those who teach the false doctrine of imminence reject this fulfillment. Jesus then goes back to details of the flight from Jerusalem. That's what he goes back to explain next. I have given supporting history, and lots of that. And I could give you lots more. Read the book by Josephus. The figurative use of sun, moon, and stars for Israel, and the three paraphrastic futures overlap. The coming of Jesus in the cloud, and I showed you that. And, of course, you can take that up and link back in Apologetics 9. Now, the signs of fig tree producing leaves, and I'm going to the cover in a minute. The permanency of Israel. Israel no longer stooped in fear, but standing erect, holding their heads high among the nations. Israel's redemption back as God's nation to head the world of nations is near, and that's coming fast. That day, not known absolutely then, will not come to be known by the unbelieving world. It will come to be known by believers, even as the day was known to Noah. Imminency taught 150-plus years ago, plays down study. And that's the danger of it. Now let's go to the cover. I had a good time making this cover. The fig tree not putteth forth its leaves, but is producing leaves, almost in the sense that it's putting them forth one at a time. It is doing it, in a process of doing it. And I've labeled the leaves. I've taken a fig leaf plant. I would have cut off all the figs and left you just the branch, except I wanted you to know it was a fig tree. So I left a few figs on it. But notice the first of the branches. One of the first things that began to happen was the development of the Hebrew language. They've tried to revive other languages, and it never worked. Gaelic and ancient Greek and Latin, they don't work. But Hebrew, all of a sudden, came back as the spoken language. The Balfour Declaration of 1917, and then the horrible Holocaust of Europe, and then the State of Israel, 1948, and then the Gospel of the Kingdom proclaimed at the UN in 1949. Then Jerusalem freed, the seasons of the nations answered, from Luke 21:24 in 1967. Well, if you deny all these anchor points, and I could give you just literally dozens of others from the postage stamps of Israel. Maybe sometime I'll update the postage stamp story that I had in The Land Born in a Day and put them all together for you so you see. But all these leaves are being produced, and I've left one last big leaf on this branch that I put, and I've got big question marks in it. What's the next big thing we can look for in the establishment of the kingdom and the moves in Israel to turn back to God? Things will happen, and God will bring his people to turn back to him when he sends Elijah. Someday, maybe not too far away, and we'll see some of these things coming to pass. But the complete finish hasn't come yet. Thank you.